This goes back to an alleged incident last fall. Von Miller was accused of assaulting a pregnant woman, which is a third-degree felony. Von Miller turned himself in to police in November and has told reporters that he is innocent, and he has also told reporters that, to his knowledge, the case was resolved legally. Meanwhile, the NFL continued to investigate and yesterday came back with his verdict. So Von Miller now officially suspended 4 games for this incident.
A report there on the Von Miller suspension. 4 games came down yesterday for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. For more on that and everything going on this week, we go now to the Wester Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. Oh, sorry about that, guys. There you go. I got you. Good morning to you as well. I'm doing well.
So right away on the Von Miller stuff, we did just take a call in the last segment. Not 100% sure how the appeal process goes in the NFL, just off the top of my head, but I'm assuming Miller could appeal the suspension if he wanted to.
I believe he can, yes. I'm not sure if we've, you know, where we are with that, if he's going to. You know, right now it's a 4-game suspension. The Bills did release a statement yesterday saying he was being suspended and eligible for reinstatement after the game against the Seattle Seahawks. So there's been nothing from the team or Von Miller yet about any sort of appeal.
Mm-hmm. And then on that point, too, as well, they do bring in a player on the practice squad. We all kind of were waiting for the corresponding move as Zion Logue gets signed off of the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. So we're all kind of like, all right, well, he has to go to the 53. What next? This seems to be the move. What do we know about Logue, though? He's a sixth-round rookie this year for Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, anytime a guy is plucked off a practice squad who is a rookie and was a draft pick that year tells me the Bills must have had, you know, pretty good. They must have liked him in the pre-draft process, right? They probably liked him leading up. He was drafted by Atlanta. He was ultimately released. He was signed back to their practice squad. So the Bills will still have 10 defensive linemen. They dressed all 10 last week. We'll see if that continues. But no more Von Miller, obviously, for 4 games. And then Zion Logue gets added to the defensive tackle group. So you have 5 defensive ends, 5 defensive tackles, you know, going forward for the next, 4 games at least. But we'll see, you know, how it shakes out, if he's ready to play right away. They do have to put him right on the 53, as you said. They can't put him on the practice squad. So he's either got to play or be inactive on game day.
And now with the Miller suspension, it does feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of feels like, all right, Javon Solomon, let's see what you got. I mean, what have you seen from him so mm-hmm. far this year and then even going back to training camp?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, now's a chance for Javon Solomon to be a part of that rotation. I think Casey Tuhill's played pretty well at times as well this year. You know, thankfully, Dewan Smoot is healthy now and playing after he missed the first 2 games. Obviously, they have Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa, and Solomon is the last guy there that you put into the mix as a rookie who I think he's done pretty well. Now, he hasn't had a lot of opportunity, but the first game he played after missing a couple there, he had a couple nice plays against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you know, I liked what he did in camp and in preseason against the run, because I didn't think that was a very strong part of his game coming out of college. He was really just a kind of a pure pass rusher. So I think the fact that he's kind of done a little bit more in that area as well is pretty encouraging, and you know, shows you that maybe he can be a part of the rotation.
So Sal, with this week starting up and obviously all these other moves going on, what else can we expect to see from the Bills with practice today? I mean, I know Terrell Bernard practiced at the end of the week last week in a limited form. Is there anything you saw there last week that would indicate maybe a bit of a ramp up in this week and maybe even play in Houston this weekend?
Yeah, we'll see how much more he does. He is expected to be out at practice again. That would make sense since he was there last week. What I liked last week, Josh, was he was using both arms fully extended for different things. He was catching the ball above his head. He was punching the ball out with his left arm and his right arm, shedding the blocks with a sled and pushing it down with his right and his left arms. Those things matter when you're coming off a pectoral injury, right? So I think that very encouraging on that front. It would be great if the Bills could get Terrell Bernard back against Houston. But we'll see how the week goes. I doubt we'll get like definitive answer from Sean McDermott. Unless, I mean, he could rule him out again, right? He could come up and say he's not going to play this week. But we'll see. The fact that this is his second week back, I'd be surprised if he did that today. I don't think he'd say he's going to play this week either. You definitely want to see how he gets through the week before that happens. Taron Johnson's the other one. He has not returned to practice yet, but maybe today. We'll see if that happens, and then we'll see. And again, McDermott could come out at noon and say he's not playing this week. So a lot of things we'll find out in about an hour and a half from now, when Sean McDermott speaks to the media, Khalil Shakir is working through an ankle injury he hurt early on in that game in Baltimore. So we'll see what his status is for the rest of the week this week. We know Josh Allen got banged up a little bit. McDermott said he'll be fine. He's sore. And then the other one to monitor is obviously Taylor Rapp, who didn't even complete the game on Sunday. He's in concussion protocol. So obviously there are steps that have to be taken for him to be available on Sunday.
Sal, on Khalil Shakir, obviously does pick up that ankle injury. There was a lot of kind of, let's see what's going on, how is he doing, the whole thing. And eventually, you can see on the TV broadcast, he's getting his ankle taped up and what have you. What did you see, though, once he came back in? It seemed like he really, after that happened, he maybe didn't even get a target. That seemed to be when Keon Coleman emerged for the Bills. There wasn't too much offense, though, to speak of. But I will say, though, Sal, just at this point, while I like what the Bills have done with their wide receiver room, and we're, spoiler alert, we're going to ask you about some wide receiver trades potentially, because that's been the talking point in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I'm very nervous how this offense is going to look if Khalil Shakir can't play against Houston or even is sort of hampered by this ankle injury.
Well, I do think it impacted him on Sunday. We all know he's a really tough dude, right? I mean, every game he's getting banged around. Yeah, he just hit. I mean, it's the way he plays, but he gets back up and, he's just kind of a guy that catches the ball in traffic and he's not the biggest dude. He takes some big shots. This one wasn't even a big shot. It was just he got rolled up on a little bit on a tackle. I do think it impacted him the rest of the game. I don't think that, that was the one reason why the Bills couldn't move the ball effectively. He did have that big catch a little bit later in the game. I just think it was a lot of circumstances that led to how the Ravens were playing, did a nice job against the Bills. But I do think it impacted him. But he did finish the game. That's important to know. And we'll see how it goes this week. It doesn't mean, he could be a lot better this week, or it could be something that, once the game is over and you evaluate it more, maybe it's worse than you think. So a lot's going to be determined over the next couple of days. We'll see about that. And then I wouldn't worry too much about the rest of the season or going forward unless there's really a lot more there that we didn't know about because he played through it on Sunday. But, today will be a big day. And even if let's always remember, it's Wednesday. Even if he doesn't practice today, which is possible, we'll find out again in an hour and a half. Tomorrow's the bigger day for that. For guys who don't work on Wednesdays, if they don't get two practices in, then you start to think that, okay, maybe they're not available.
So obviously the Ravens and the Texans are very different in terms of defense and things like that. But if Shakir was to be, limited, still playing, but maybe not fully up to speed or not playing at all, what do you think the Bills would try to do to basically fill in for him? Do you think it'd be a guy like MVS or maybe a Curtis Samuel? How do you think they would combat that if it progresses?
Well, I don't know if they have to do too much different, Josh, because everybody kind of plays anyway, right? There's not guys sitting on the bench who aren't getting snaps. I think we can say Curtis Samuel needs to play more, and that's for sure. I'd like to see that. Joe Brady said he's got to find more snaps for him. He's got to get the ball in his hands more. I think that's a different discussion, though, about replacing. If they were to replace, if something were to happen, if Khalil Shakir couldn't play, then you have to go to the practice squad. Then you're looking at Tyrell Shavers or KJ Hamler. I think that, because you're not going to the game with four wide receivers. But if he can play, then I expect to be out there. And if his snaps are limited, then I just think everybody else who's already getting those snaps just kind of elevates a little bit.
So, Sal, sticking with the wide receiver conversation here, and this is, again, more of just kind of the conversations over the last 48 hours. Davante Adams, but says he wants a trade. I guess how it was worded is he prefers to be traded, which just to me feels like extra steps. But to me right now, I'm almost not even focusing on Adams potentially even winding up on the Bills. I don't even know if the Bills want to make a trade for a wide receiver. I think they do like the room they have. I'd also just, for transparency, I'd like them to continue to go young in the draft, what have you, or if they did get a guy like Amari Cooper. But to me, Sal, it feels like Davante Adams is going to be a Jet. It feels like what we've always been building towards. The Jets have not been good on offense outside of their game against New England. It feels like we're going to wait to the trade deadline, and then we're going to get the breaking news, and we're going to get the really, rose-colored glasses tweet from all the reporters, and he's a Jet. It feels like that's where we're going.
So right before I went on with you guys, Adam Schefter reported that the two teams high on Adam's wish list of places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and the Saints, his two former quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Yeah, I agree that this is something that the Jets will probably really want to do. This is an all or nothing year for the Jets, right? I mean, hey, we either make the playoffs and break the drought, or we're all getting fired. It feels like that, right? With Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and that regime, front office, coaching staff, everything. well, you have a 40-year-old quarterback. He doesn't have much time left to play. They're already, you know, maxing out as far as trying to help him as much as possible or bring in guys that he wants to play with and Alan Lazard. And, you know, they traded for Hassan Reddick, and that thing went south with everything going there. This is a move that the Jets probably would have no hesitation on making if they can make it. The question would be fitting him in financially, making the deal work as far as a, you know, compensation. Same thing with the Saints, obviously, who never met a contract they didn't like and couldn't work around, right? I mean, the Saints are a team that just does this. It's what the Saints do all the time. And then Derek Carr is there. That's what we played with, obviously, when Derek Carr was in Las Vegas, and their former college teammates as well. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a team that he wound up with. As far as the Bills are concerned, I just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo, a quick 12-minute one. If people want to go and listen to that, I give a lot more full thoughts on this. It's where audio and obviously is Sal Sports on YouTube. You can check it out. The Cliff Notes version is, it's a fascinating discussion for me because the Bills have intentionally gone away from having this type of player, right? They traded Stephon Diggs because they didn't want a 30-year-old wide receiver who's carrying a big salary and commands a lot of targets. Not in a bad way, but it's just when you have that player, you can't do the everybody eats thing. This is what they wanted. They wanted the everybody eats. They wanted to be younger. They wanted to diversify and have flexibility in the offense to throw it to anybody. That's not Davante Adams. That said, Davante Adams is one heck of a football player, and the Bills had trouble separating on Sunday night. So I do wonder. Now, financially, the Bills don't have the money to pay him. They don't have $13 million. That's what he's due the rest of the year. Every week that goes by, it's about $1 million less than it would cost you, okay? So let's say two more weeks from now, it's about $11 million it would cost for his base salary. The Bills still don't have that. You'd have to have the Raiders rework the deal, eat a lot of the money, and do like a sign-in trade in the NBA. This would be more of a reworking trade, right? You'd have to have that happen. But for that to happen, it'd probably be even more of a cost for the Bills. They do have the compensation. They have a one, they have two twos, and they have a three next year. I just think it's a fascinating discussion.
Should be a lot of fun. Definitely is going to make the trade deadline exciting in the NFL. Sal, last thing here before we let you get out of here, get ready for Bills practice. Playoff baseball started yesterday. How are you feeling about the Yankees? Obviously, they don't play until later this week once the wildcard rounds are wrapped up. But I am finding myself as a humble Angels fan who, by the way, the team just had their worst year in franchise history due to win losses. Just want to throw that out there. Otani's going to win NL MVP. I'm fine. I'm excited for playoff baseball. The Mets had a great game against the Braves. They won yesterday. Like, I find myself getting excited for playoff baseball even when my favorite team is not there.
Playoff baseball is great.
Right?
It's intense. Man, that kid for the Tigers is amazing, the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Scubla? How you say his name?
I believe that's how it's
pronounced. I mean, either way, he's amazing. He's incredible. Lefty, his first like 15 pitches were either strikes or an out yesterday. So I think it was 13 or 14 pitches. It was incredible. Anyway, intense baseball. I love it. So it's about the Yankees. I hate the fact that they have to wait 5 days, 6 days to play. They don't play until Saturday. That's never good in baseball, right? It always seems like it's never good. However, the alternative is you play a three-game series. You have one bad game, you could be out. Look at the Royals yesterday. They beat the Orioles 1-0. I mean, the Orioles couldn't hit in one game. Now they're on the brink of elimination because of that, right? Like, it's just so quick that if you just don't have a good one game, you can find yourself in a situation where, bam, you're out of it quickly. So I'm glad that they're obviously not playing yet, but I don't like the fact they have to make sure that they stay within rhythm and keep all your reps because the team they're going to play, Royals or Orioles, will have a few games under their belt. I do hope that series goes three games because then you have to use more pitchers if you're those teams, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. And then, of course, the Yankees have home field throughout the AL playoffs, which is great. But I just think that kid for the Tigers is really good. Watching him pitch is amazing.
By the way, Tarek Skubal.
Skubal, thank you. Skubra, I just called him. Skubal, there you go.
Six innings yesterday, six strikeouts, only four hits, and one walk.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, the first like two, three innings, I'm telling you, I think at one point he had 13 pitches and all were either strikes or an out. So he didn't throw a ball until like pitch 14 or something like that. I was watching it going, geez. Anyway, playoff baseball, though, is like every pitch is just intense when it's a close game. And I'm watching last night. I was out at an event last night, and the Mets and Brewers were on. I just kept thinking about Howard, right? Howard Simon, what he's going through watching the Mets in the playoffs.
Real quick, Zach, you did say you watched it, and it just reminded me.
Yeah.
This may show how little baseball I've actually been able to sit down and watch this year. When did this win probability thing pop up at the top of the scoreboard? Were you noticing that? I'm sitting there watching.
I think yesterday was the first time.
Yeah,
I think
I'm watching the Tigers Astros. It's the second inning, 3-0, and they're like, oh, by the way, the Tigers have an 85% chance of winning. I'm like, why would you broadcast that? Like a neutral fan. Why
do you think they would? I will tell you why. Because of gambling.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, guys. I mean, you put the win probability up. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe within a week you're seeing that's brought to you by DraftKings or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
And then like they're telling you to go and, you know, and then the odds of winning now, like everything is just driven by gambling. I think that I would tell you that's probably a big reason they did it.
That's probably true. It just it threw me off so bad. I mean, obviously I'm working as I'm watching, but I see it. I'm like, huh, okay. Yep. It's the second inning, but all right. All right, Sal. Thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning. Have fun at practice. We'll talk again soon, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Got to fit in a quick timeout here. John, we'll get your call after that timeout. We've also got John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, coming up at 11 o'clock to get more of a look at Houston, who the Bills will be taking on Sunday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.